This is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're live on weekday mornings. We rebroadcast on weekday evenings. We're heard on radio stations serving Oregon and California. And we're found online streaming at jeffexchange.org, ijpr.org, and the JPR app. It's Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. In this hour, of course, a coronavirus update, Envirothon, and a council of elders. Eric Newman from our newsroom is standing by with some details on hospital preparations. Then we'll explore Envirothon, a learning competition for schools when they're back. Later on, you'll hear from two of the founders of the Josephine County Council of Elders about what they do. You're more than welcome to join these discussions by phone and email. We'll talk about how in a few minutes. First, we will talk about the weather, and a fairly persistent wintry pattern is hanging on. Here's our student assistant, Randy Babbitt. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and good morning. For the southern Oregon Cascades and Siskiyous today, there's a slight chance of rain or snow. It's partly sunny with a high near 41. And tonight, a chance of snow. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 25. For Yreka today, there's rain likely with snow above 3,700 feet. It's mostly cloudy with a high near 47. And tonight, a chance of rain with snow above 3,200 feet. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 32. In Weed and Mount Shasta today, there's snow with a high near 37. And tonight, snow with a low around 31. For Redding and Red Bluff today, there's showers with a high near 48. And tonight, showers are likely. It'll be cloudy with a low around 40. In the Klamath Basin today, rain and snow are likely. It's partly sunny with a high near 48. And tonight, rain and snow are likely. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 30. On the southern Oregon coast today, there's increasing clouds with a high near 52. And tonight, a chance of rain with snow above 3,100 feet, expected to be mostly cloudy with a low around 41. On the northern California coast today, rain is likely. It's cloudy with a high near 48. And tonight, a chance of showers. It'll be cloudy with a low around 43. For Roseburg and the Umpqua Basin today, there's patchy fog with conditions becoming sunny and a high near 55. And tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 40. In Grants Pass, Medford, and Ashland today, there's a chance of rain with snow above 4,100 feet. It's partly sunny with a high near 53. And tonight, there's a chance of rain with snow above 3,100 feet. It's mostly cloudy with a low around 36. In Eugene and Springfield today, there's widespread frost, otherwise increasing clouds with a high near 57, and tonight patchy fog, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 39.
Thank you, Randy. That was a mouthful, as always, as it has been for about a week now. And it looks like most of the action is going to shift east of the Cascades after we get some precipitation west of the mountains today. Most of the activity actually contained in a winter storm warning for eastern Klamath and Lake counties and eastern Siskiyou and part of Modoc County as well. So generally in the high desert countries where we're looking to get a bit more snow, for everybody west of the Cascades, look like it's getting a bit drier as we head into tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange. We always appreciate when you're here with us. We might have winced a bit a few weeks ago reading about societies being locked down to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now, many of us are among the locked down. You can go out, but the places you can go to are limited. And the situation has been changing daily of late. Reporters are challenged to keep up with the barrage of information. JPR's Eric Newman went out to check on impacts in the medical community, pressed to prepare for more cases of COVID-19. He joins us by phone here on the Jefferson Exchange, as we're not doing studio guests for a while, including our own people. Eric, welcome to the Exchange. Eric, are you there? Should have you there. Eric, you listening? Eric Newman. Okay. Not sure what happened there. Let me see. I'll put him on hold, take him back on the air. Eric Newman, not on line six. Okay. He said he was standing by. We'll come to Eric in just a little bit. Do we have our other callers on the line at the moment? Okay. And we'll go straight there then. And so it feels a little bit weird talking about schools and school-based events at the moment, with most schools closed around the region to stop the spread of the virus. But they will open again one day. And our next guests began planning a long time ago for a day that will include Southern Oregon's first Envirothon. The name seems clear. It involves the environment and some kind of competition. Let's get details. We have with us Karelia Ver-Eck from the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District. Karelia, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Great. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Sure. Haven Combs is with us as well. Haven, tell us about where you're from.
I'm a teacher here at Crater Renaissance Academy, and I do environmental science.
Okay, good to have you here. And Caroline Burdick is with us. Tell about where you're from.
Good morning. I also work at Crater High School, and I teach ecology.
So did this originate with you guys at Crater or with Corellia at Soil and Water Conservation?
It was kind of both entities kind of took the opportunity to jump off the cliff at the same time. So so this is the first regional Envirothon happening in Oregon, and the state Envirothon has been happening since 97. And my boss, Randy White, has always wanted this to happen. And this year he was like, okay, it's going to be on your work plan. Let's make it happen. And I connected with Haven and Anna over at the Crater Renaissance Academy's Land Lab, and they said, great, we're going to do one too. So we combined forces.
So there is an existing Envirothon, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
And what's the basic, draw the basic outline, if you would, for us about what goes on at these events?
So it's for high school students across the state. It happens nationally as well, and then there's a national Envirothon. But it is an opportunity for high school students to go beyond what they're learning in the classroom in their environmental science and ecology classes and take it to actual hands-on career readiness skills. So everything from learning to how do you look at a tree and decide how many pieces of lumber are going to come out of it? How do you measure the health of a waterway for the salmon that live there, the macroinvertebrates, or the birds that may use that area? And so it allows kids to take these skills, apply them as a team, realize that in the real world you actually have resources and teams working together, then also gives teachers an opportunity, and we can let Carolyn and Haven speak about that, but lets them grow their confidence in how do I teach my kids these resources that aren't really in any of my curriculum otherwise.
So which one of you said jump off a cliff together to do this? I mean, is it that big a commitment to do Envirothon?
I can speak to that.
Yeah,
I feel like last year we took a team, actually we took two teams up to Envirothon just to see what it was all about up at the state level. And we knew that after that experience, the kids had just such a blast that it was something that we wanted to do down here locally. But there have historically been some barriers to getting Southern Oregon participants up because it happens up at the Oregon Gardens, which is a long ways away, and it requires overnight travel. And, you know, it's a lot of work to get kids prepared for that competition. So we thought, you know, this year would be a great year to try a Southern Oregon kind of a regional event and try to get local schools involved. But, we started planning this, I would say, a good year ago. But it's been a brainchild for a long time. It was 10 years ago when Anna Warnchez and I took an FFA team for the very first time and experienced it. And then it kind of went on the back burner, no joke, for like 10 years. And so we're resurrecting, you know, kind of our passion for it. But it's also part of our new CTE program that we're designing at our school, which is a forestry and natural resources entire curriculum that spans 4 years and gives kids college credit and really works on partnerships with local businesses and organizations. It's a multi-pronged approach, I'd say.
We are talking about the first Southern Oregon Envirothon. I haven't even checked yet about whether it's going to happen. Corellia Vereck from Jackson Soil and Water Conservation is with us. Haven Combs and Caroline Burdick are from Crater in Central Point. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So April 3rd is like just after people are supposed to come back to school. What's the story on whether Envirothon is going to happen?
It is currently postponed,
mm-hmm.
And the planning committee has a meeting tomorrow, remote conference call meeting, as we all are doing, to try to figure out what the feasibility might be to return. You know, it's going to be April and then May and then school's let out in June, so trying to figure out if we can make it happen this year. And if it can't, we have everything ready to go for next year to be this a better event if it doesn't happen this year.
Is there going to be some pressure to not do it terribly soon, given the amount of catch-up work that classes are likely to do?
Oh, I don't think it's happening this year.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a feeling. I feel like we're going to be extra prepared for next year. We've also gotten some emails that they're probably changing the format for even the state Envirothon competition and giving some kids some ways to participate in that even virtually. And that was scheduled for a month after our regional event. So this one was really meant as a preparation for the state one, so kids could get their feet wet and feel more confident going to the state level. I don't know what, you know, if it will happen after the state one or right about the same time. I'm just not sure. But I think odds are it's probably, yeah, there's pressure to start online schooling with kids or the kind of correspondent schooling. And, yeah, well, I think we're maybe looking at extending the school year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right now there's a lot more questions than answers. But my gut instinct is, yeah, there'll be pressure to do more of the regular in-class academic stuff and that extra cool things like this will probably be pushed out a bit.
Right. So then now the statewide Envirothon is supposed to happen in Silverton on May 1st. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's correct.
So give us a breakdown about that. There are various stations involved for, I mean, there are a couple different subsets within environmental learning that goes on at an Envirothon. Can you tell us about that?
I can talk a little bit about that. So this is Caroline. So there's 5 different stations. So there's a wildlife one. So that's where oftentimes they have pelts and skins and skulls and that sort of stuff so that students are working with field guides. Oftentimes they have a lot of resources in front of them to be able to identify different wildlife and different wildlife issues. There's also a soil testing station as well as a forestry station where they're using industry standard equipment to try to measure trees and identify different types of trees and that sort of stuff. There is also water quality, and so that's where they're actually getting their hands into the water and doing different actual testing, so determining what the pH of the water is and looking at different macroinvertebrates to determine what the health is, since those are bioindicators. And then there's also a current event, and so that's going to be different each year. Last year it was looking at different sections of land, so farming land, and determining, you know, what types of crops to use and different technologies that could be used to make it more efficient. And then this year they're looking more at hydrology and looking at nitrogen input to determine how to prevent issues with groundwater. And so specifically this year we were having students look at groundwater management areas around the state and trying to figure out, essentially develop a proposal as to what to do to prevent the water from getting worse.
Wow. So this is really comprehensive stuff. This is not like, you know, go. This is not like a scavenger hunt. I mean, we're talking some real science getting applied here.
Absolutely.
Now, Crater High School, in its earlier incarnation, before it split up into Renaissance Academy and the other entities, had Rogue Eco, its own environmental school. Is that still extant?
I actually took over kind of the Rogue Eco program when my predecessor, Hans Smith, retired. And so, yeah, I teach out here at the Land Lab. We call it the farm. We're about a mile and a half off campus. And I team teach with Anna Warnchez, who couldn't be with us on the air today because she's feeling ill. Oh. But the two of us have been doing a program out here at the Land Lab. It's a block class for about the last 10 years. And so we're, on Bear Creek. It runs right through our property. We have an integrated pond and wetland program. We've been raising mosquito fish, and we have world culture raised garden beds where we grow food and crops from the different that we study. And so, yeah, Rogue Eco is still, you know, going strong. It's got a kind of a different shape and a different look to it because we've integrated the literature and the English as well as the history of the different regions of the world that we study. And it now spans 4 years. So we have a 9-10 block program where the kids are out here for half the day. And then we have an 11-12 block program also where they're out here for the other half of the day. And there's internships integrated with that. So, yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive program these days.
In Haven, how many students altogether?
We have about 100 students, mm-hmm. I would say, 50 or so in each of our block classes. So it's a big double class out here with 2 teachers team teaching.
Given the kinds of things that they're learning already, it seems like they'd be pretty well positioned to do pretty well in an Envirothon.
Well, we were sure hoping. I guess we'll have to wait a minute to see how they do. But yes, especially at the 9-10 block program, our school kind of shifted to that model just a year or so ago. We've always had a block with 10 and 11th grade together, but we've traded it and switched it up a little. So we've got 9-10 block and an 11-12 block now. And so we've really tried to align the 9-10 curriculum with these environmental core topics. And so it's actually been really fun to revamp the curriculum and integrate things that I've actually never done in the depth that we're doing them now. So, and I'm learning right along with the kids some of the things that are a little new and a little outside of my wheelhouse. So it's been great.
It does sound like fun. Corellia, what does the Soil and Water Conservation District contribute?
So across the state, soil and water conservation districts are kind of have been the ones that have been there supporting the schools and school districts. It was actually the state Envirothon was started by the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District back in 1997. And so it's just we're there to provide resources, whether it's financial resources, whether it's going into the classroom and doing some training. For the last 2 years, I've gone into Logos Charter School and helped their team prepare for the aquatics ecology. So we're just kind of there to provide these technical resources for the students and teachers and help them get confidence, whether it's a fatter wallet or a fatter brain to go to the competition.
So Caroline or Haven, how many students participate in Envirothon as envisioned in Southern Oregon? And is it this, I mean, you're basically working with the same sort of scheme that goes on at the big Envirothon in Silverton?
Yeah, so this year we were hoping to have, the goal was to have about 150 students because we were going to be using this as an opportunity to test students that were taking the land lab classes as well as my ecology students. So we were planning on testing pretty much all of our students, especially the 9-10 block. And then in my ecology class is a 10th through 12th grade class. And then we were bringing in, we were trying to get as many teachers from around the valley as well. And so Chris Van Ness from Logos was definitely a huge part of the planning program or the planning committee. And so he was bringing his team, which is they're a fantastic one. They've won state or Envirothon, 4 years before Corelli? Like, I'm pretty sure they've been winning for a while. So it's been nice to have him around to use his expertise and then trying to get some other teachers around. So when the numbers ended up, we were probably between 90 and 100 students who were actually going to be competing at our local Envirothon.
All right. So so we'll have to see what happens. Again, a meeting tomorrow to decide when to reschedule, if to reschedule for this year, the first Southern Oregon Envirothon, which was scheduled for April 3rd, certainly has been postponed. That would be the first possible day to do it because that's the first week students are supposed to be back in school. But everything is up in the air, of course, because of coronavirus. So just kind of smiling through the pain, it sounds like, at this point for any of you.
Yep.
Yeah, and sorry to hear that Anna is under the weather. I hope she's not under the weather with what we all hope she doesn't have.
I don't think so. It doesn't sound like that. The same kinds of symptoms, so.
Okay, good to know. So we have, thanks so much to Caroline Burdick and Haven Combs from Creator Renaissance Academy and Corelli Ever Eck from the Jackson County Soil and Water Conservation District. Good to have you all on. Hope to hear about Envirothon happening sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Awesome. Us too.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet.